to Wales and hockey tales with Wally. For the fans, to the players, living their hockey dream. To Wales and hockey tales with Wally. Kim Carden, Sander Uski, and everywhere in between. Oh, I hope you don't mind if I introduce you to another Shed guy. And remember, kids, when it is fun, Two Wales and Hockey Tales with Wally. 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 Throw me some chocolate, please.
Welcome to another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. And today I am so excited to have on, again, a 34-year-old from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. His hockey journey has taken him to Canada, the USA, France, Norway, Denmark, Wales, Germany, and Scotland. During his Danish tenure, for fun, had the most apples by a D-man in the league. His time in the old honey hole Cardiff, Wales was quite memorable. Two playoff championships and a league championship. But he doesn't just win and score. He has been a player coach with my old player coach and the Swamp Rabbits. Saved the Selb Wolves from relegation. Then just this past season joined the clan of Glasgow and promptly became one of the captains. Does it all, folks. Welcome to the kitchen, Bryce Reddick.
Thanks for having me, Wally.
So we're in the kitchen today. Because, weird one, I have Franny on right before the playoff weekend looking for a Shed boost. And, yep. You know, they lost a heartbreaker to Belfast in overtime. And guess what? My booster's not working in the Shed either. So I can't even do this in the Shed because my booster's not working. And then it didn't work for Franny. Sorry, buddy. Right?
So you got me in the kitchen, a kitchen boost.
Yeah, kitchen boost. But your season's over, right? You're not looking for a Shed boost yet, eh?
Oh, no. Just, nope. Looking to go home here. Still in Glasgow.
Are you?
Yep. What it's been 2 weeks since our season's been over. Yeah.
There can't be many guys still hanging around, can there?
Yeah, there's quite a few of us actually, because a lot of us had round trip tickets.
So the date was already booked, not knowing when you're going to be done.
Like when I booked my ticket in July, I booked it for I leave Friday. So it would have been basically 5 days after the playoff weekend, but we didn't make that obviously. So,
right.
So we've been hanging out for 2 weeks.
Well, and you know, you guys didn't make playoffs, and I've been on teams where you underachieve or don't do what you want. And man, the end of the season, it's a different feeling than when you win it, eh?
Oh, it's completely. This is the worst finish I've ever had, and it's a lot different finishing this low in the table. I guess as low as you can go to win. Even last year in Selb, we were in relegation, but we still won.
Your last game of the year, and it was fun, right?
It was still like a party, but it was like we just stayed. We wanted to stay in the league. Like we didn't win playoffs, so it's definitely like
isn't that weird?
Yeah, so like that was a totally new experience, and then this year was just a completely new experience, just every facet of it. So.
Man, it brings back memories, man. It's like I go to Bietigheim and the first year we have the big budget, Porsche is pouring in the money, and we got like the best second league team ever. And like there was no way we weren't going to win it with the people we had and how much depth we had. And then Porsche like pretty well goes tits up or whatever back that year. Then we win it. They don't go to the DL like promised. Then all of a sudden we're second leaguers again. Then they have no money to have a good team in the second league. And then all of a sudden it's not fun because you're losing. And it's like, I'm just trying to be loyal and help get you through this. And then when they get money back, they get a new coach and they say, kindly leave because you guys have been losing. It's like, yeah, I signed up to lose. I knew I was going to lose and I was doing it for you.
That's wild.
So anyways, small world, folks. Hockey gods are a thing.
Yeah.
Selb just relegated Bietigheim to the third round. And our puppy Richie was on the team again, right? And sorry, Bietigheim. It's tough to go DL to the second league to the third league in 2 years, right?
That's like insane.
Right? That's a big barn to be in the Oberliga.
That's nuts. Drop down like one of the best leagues in Europe. Then you go down to the second league, and then now you're in the third league.
To finish last in the second league after you're just a first league team, it's like, whoa, mama.
Yeah.
And you, I know how sour things got in Bietigheim when we were losing when I was there, and we were never that bad.
Yeah. And they had to win it to go up, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah. And it's like, I haven't heard that they don't have money there. So it's like, what happened?
That's insane.
I guess you did it last year with Richie. Yeah. And Richie did it again. So the two teams that asked me to kindly leave in Germany, my puppy, years later, relegated you both back-to-back years. Karma's a bitch.
That's your boys looking out for you.
Oh, and I think it's hilarious because I don't know how it happened, but it's neat because I love seeing my puppies fly. Is when I left Bietigheim and I go to Heilbronn, and we had a team that was good, and we got put out first round, and it was sour because everybody thought wanted more. And so they get rid of all the imports like they do in Germany. Yep. And those puppies I had that year, five or six of them that were like 20 years old, 18 years old, are all going to have their jerseys retired in Germany. And I think it's hilarious.
That's unreal. Super cool.
So yeah, Mapes and Heilbronn.
Yeah, I remember him.
Walshy and Krimichow.
Okay, I remember him.
Billich and Freiburg.
Don't remember him.
Marco Mueller and Kassel.
Okay.
They're all going to have their jerseys retired, and they're all my puppies that year. They're all shed guys. Isn't that cool?
That's unreal. Did you see, I don't know how closely you follow, but in the DL2 now, it's the championship.
Mm.
And Kassel put up a ton of money to move up to the DL if they win. And they're losing 3-2 to Regensburg. Like, they're down 3-2 in the series. They fired their coaches this morning.
In
games, they fired their coaches this morning, and they play game six tonight, and they have to win.
Stop! No, they didn't do that because they already fired their coach when they're in first place.
They fired their current coach and assistant coach this morning.
They fired the new coaches that they had already fired fired a coach when they're in first place this year.
Yeah, and they fired another coach this morning.
Stop it!
And they play tonight, game six.
Stop it! And they think they're going to win doing that.
How crazy is that?
That is totally crazy. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
It's nuts. It's absolutely insane that they think like that's a recipe for success.
I can't imagine what? Are you allowed to get a new coach in the middle of the finals? That's outrageous. I've never heard of that in hockey ever. Man, the things you can
How
hear.
How crazy is that?
Oh, like. Yeah. Who's going to sign up to be their coach there? Who's going to want that job? If you're in first place, you get fired. Then you go to the finals and you get fired in the middle of it. Oh,
that's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous that I can't believe it's true. You know,
it's true.
Oh my word.
It's insane.
So Glasgow though, nice place or what?
Yeah, it was a great city. We lived in a super cool area. We lived right in the city, so that was nice. A lot to do, which was a shell shock from being in Selb. Rink is good as I don't know if you would have played. You would have played here, right, in Glasgow?
Oh yeah. Yeah, in the mall.
So the rink is nice. They redid the locker room. Lots of the games were always sold out. It was, I guess we had all the tools to succeed. We just didn't for whatever reason.
And I did see that they just hired a new coach, Corey Nielsen.
Yep.
He knows the league, and he's a gamer. I competed against him at Matthew Meyer's testimonial, and that guy is competitive.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see like what happens here, and it definitely takes time. It's not an overnight thing, but I mean, 10th is obviously not where you want to finish when you're trying to rebuild/build a culture. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see who he wants to bring in and who he wants to keep. And when new coaches come in, they want to bring in their guys. That's just hockey, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, I think if I was a coach, I'd want to do the same too.
Well, you would. It's like my Concord Canucks this year that won all Ontario. It's like I would take those boys anywhere with me because I know exactly who they are and what they're about, you know?
Yeah. And there's no sense of gambling with good people. Like, you don't know if you're getting he might be a good player, but is he a good person? Is he going to bring people down? Like, is he going to make his teammates worse?
Oh, like, yeah.
So there's all that comes.
And there are guys out there in the pro game that aren't going to help you build a culture, right?
No, and they can be really good players too, but
yeah,
they can be really good by themselves, and then they can make everyone else around them worse.
Yes, I agree. The neatest thing for me as a coach right now is I was coaching an age group a year older than my son because it's 2 years together. So basically the whole team's moving up to the next age group, and I heard like 10 of them are going to AAA tryouts, and they all can play. And it's like, I had guys on my, if you're building a team, it's like, well, Burton and Savage can play on a third line in any league anywhere because they play hockey the right way and they play it harder than anybody. And it to see these puppies and the hockey guys they become. And it's like, from what I heard, not many of them have ever tried out for AAA, and now they all believe in themselves. And I'm like, man, that's awesome.
That's super cool. Oh. That's unreal.
And you know, especially those little puppies, what they've done for me is, I was 0-3 in minor hockey coaching applications. And hey, Reds, got one. I won.
Did you?
Yeah. So I'll be the under-13 coach next season.
Yep. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So rumor has it they're amalgamating after next year. So it'll be the last year of the Concord Canucks, and it'd be pretty neat to win it back to back and then that be the end of the Canucks, right?
Go out on a good
just
note.
Thinking out loud, you know.
That's funny.
So that's my plan, is to win it again, and I'm gonna take my team to Kalamazoo to watch Western Michigan play, and I think that will be as neat of an experience ever for those kids, right?
Oh, that'll be super cool. Is there a tournament there too or no?
I'd probably try and fire up a couple exhibition games against some Michigan teams, you know?
Yeah.
Let them Americans know what's up.
No, that'll be really cool because then it can show the kids too, like, this is
the NCAA, right?
Yeah, this is what you have to work towards, or you want to go to school, like.
Yeah, well, and the kids around here, all they see is the OHL, right? Like, they don't, they've never experienced it. And man, when I went for my first recruiting trip and saw an NCAA game, I was like, this is what I want.
Oh, for sure. I've never been to a major junior game, so I can't speak on it, but I going to your first college game and seeing the band and all the fans and the student section, it's like, this is pretty freaking cool.
This is as hockey as it gets. And then you get the Lawson Lunatics. I don't know if you've ever played at Western Michigan, but they are a legendary student section.
Yeah, we never ended up playing them.
Man, it's a spot, and I can't wait to take these boys. And thank you guys for winning, because winning does change things, and it's, you know, they kind of had to pick me because we won all Ontario, right?
Then you got your sweater on.
That's right, boys, and my hat. They give you red hats for winning.
Nice. Covering your blonde hair.
Yes, I had quite the season this year. The boys shaved my head at one point. We dyed our hair and got mullets for the playoff run, and it was as fun as it gets, man. Anyways, I gotta tell, this was like the neatest thing of how everything works out in the wash, is like I like to call it, and that there are things work out if you just keep giving her. It's, I met my CEO 9 years ago at Boston Pizza, and it was just a random, ran into each other, and I'd already had an interview there, and then he went back and checked out my resume after we chatted. And then they did give me a position, and I've worked for them ever since. And I find out I'm getting a coaching job at my daughter's tryout, and then me and the old man are working with the son all day. So we go to Boston Pizza, and my old man's like, I've never met your CEO. I've never met this guy. He's like, I'd like to meet him. Everything I've heard about him, he sounds like, you know, my type of guy. And I'm like, oh yeah, you guys would get along. So we stroll into Boston Pizza, and there he is sitting there, and my CEO and my old man meet each other. I've just got the coaching job in our new hometown that if it wasn't for him taking a chance on me 9 years ago, like who knows where we'd be and what I'd be doing. And that we run into each other, they meet each other, and I took a selfie with my CEO and my dad at Boston Pizza. And I thought, man, there's not many people in the world pulling off a selfie with the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company, right?
That's unreal.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah. And I couldn't work for a better guy. He trusts me to do my job, and he lets me be me and do this on my lunch hour, right? That's loving.
Yeah, for sure. That's unreal. Small world.
When people have your back, you'll do more for them. And it's like, you can email me any time of day and I'm ready to work, you know?
For sure.
But anywho, you probably have no idea what you're doing next season, eh?
No clue. No idea.
Well, folks, if anybody's listening to the shed out there, this is as good as a teammate gets and as hardworking as it gets. So I may not be an agent in here, but I sure like to get the good people's names out there, right?
Yeah.
He's a proven winner. He's been a coach, a captain. What else do you want, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be an event. I'm sure it'll be an eventful summer. So we shall see.
You have been to a lot of places, eh? I have a curious question. What are your favorite seasons of hockey? Because you've been, where did I say? Denmark, Norway, France, Wales, Germany, Scotland. So where's your honey holes?
I would definitely say Cardiff. I mean, being there for 3 years.
And winning.
Winning, building relationships with those guys. That was actually probably the coolest part of the season, was being able to see all those guys again. Cause I mean, you know how it is when you leave, like there's no guarantee you're going to see those people again. So to link up with them, that was really cool. But I love Germany. Like I really love playing hockey there. It's a hockey country. It's super cool. All the arenas are packed. So I would say probably those two.
Yeah,
I like Denmark. Norway was cool too. It was expensive, right in Oslo. Every place I've played has had its perks. So I mean, I would say to pinpoint like the all time favorite would have probably been Selb in Germany, just because it's Germany, hockey country.
It's like when I was at Bietigheim and we were winning, and I was living in a small town where like everybody knew everybody, and that's me. Like I like living in small towns, and then we're winning and everybody loves us. And I'm like, this is as fun as hockey can ever be. And I love this place, and this is my German home. And then it's weird how winning and losing can change relationships, right?
Oh, it's, I mean, I mean, I'm kind of seeing it firsthand now here, because we didn't win anything, and then
people are asked to kindly leave.
Yeah. And then in Cardiff, you win everything and you still have those relationships. So,
and I was telling my boys this through the season. It's like, you have to deep down believe you can do it. But then it's like, when we do this, it's like, you guys will be brothers for life. Like you will have this forever. Winning is forever. And I was telling them, it's like winning changes everything. It gets people talking. And it's like when we win the Challenge Cup in Cardiff and they hadn't won in however many years. And it's like, now I got invited back to Matthew Meyer's testimonial. I got invited back to Josh Batchett's testimonial. And then it's like, I was talking to my old man the other day. I'm like, you wouldn't believe how many guys are still on the Cardiff Devils that I played with. Like, he couldn't believe Joey Martin was still there. And I'm like, yeah, man. And it's because it's a winning culture and they like being there and they're treated right. And it's like Bouncy, Richie, Batchy, Marty. And it's like, there's not many pro teams that keep guys that long, but that's what winning does, right?
Oh, for sure. And that's where I think here in Glasgow is something that's missing, that I think a lot of people don't understand. Even if you play, I don't think you understand it until you actually experience like being in a culture where it's like winning, like you're given all the tools to win, like no questions asked.
And you're expected to.
You're expected to win. Like what I found this year isn't, like sitting back and thinking about it, I thought about it a couple months ago. It's like, here there was so much pressure to not lose.
Right.
And the pressure to win is completely different. Mm-hmm. 'Cause when you're playing to win, you're like, you're flowing, you're vibing, you're just feeling good. And then when you're the pressure fighting to it, not lose, it's like,
you're
like,
battling. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, you're not in the flow state.
No, like holding my stick too tight. Like I'm second guessing myself. Whereas like,
and you just don't want to make a mistake instead of make exactly. hockey plays. Right.
Exactly. So it's like the pressure to look like we were, it's like where we were at a point this year where the pressure was to not lose. And that makes it so much harder to play when than the pressure to win.
Well, it's like, man, how it all went in Germany then. So I do leave Bietigheim and I go to their biggest rivals 30 minutes away. And, you know, I get on the Hellbound Falcons that have a budget. We have good players, a good team. But we kept finding ways to lose games. And it would be like the last couple minutes we're up or tied. And then all of a sudden we've pissed it down our leg. And it was like that was in our brain. I still remember like getting scored on. We're up like 2-0. And one of our captains, like one of our best players, they scored to make it 2-1. And he starts slamming the door going, not again, not tonight. It's not happening again. And then it's like, guess what? It just did because this is our attitude.
Yeah. No, that's exactly, I mean, it's more true. And I think, like I said, I think you don't know that feeling unless you've been on a team where there's pressure to win.
Well, I think it's also like, proving it to yourself too throughout a season. It's like my boys, man, the start of the season, we lost our first game 7-1. And then we lost the next exhibition game. And then me and the other coach are like, what are we working with here? Like, but then you win a couple games and then you find ways in the third period to win again. And then it was like the deep down belief they had that no matter what the score is, no matter how much time's left, they were going to find a way. And they just kept doing it. And it was like the most magical ride I've ever been on. It was crazy.
Well, that's awesome too. Especially they're so young. They're learning at a young age how it feels to win.
And what it takes, man. Like the first tournament we won was a single A tournament. So we were playing up a division or whatever. And then we went there and beat everybody. And in the final game, to see them play a championship game and know what it took and block shots and get hurt and just keep fighting and play defense first all over the ice. And then we win 3-0. And you see the joy in these kids' faces. You see them throwing helmets and gloves in the air. And you're like, oh, my God, my heart.
That's funny. That's cool.
So what's on your schedule this summer? Because I've talked to a lot of hockey guys. And I find that the more you move around, the more you move and shake. And I know through your childhood, you've had a couple different homes with your old man being in the show. Where is home now? Because players can get confused where home is by the end of their careers, right?
Yeah.
I ended up in Kincardine.
Yeah. So I'll go back to Fort Myers on Friday. Not far from the Lonnie Kai.
Shout out to the Lonnie Kai. Great times there.
And then me and Evan Mosey, we're actually in a wedding together this summer.
That sounds fun.
Yep. So we'll go up to Chicago. We're actually doing a speech together.
Is it a hockey guy?
Yeah. Phil Buschbacher, you had him on.
Oh, really? Bushy's getting married. Really? Yep. A bunch of Shed guys are going to be there, eh?
Yeah. So we'll do that. So him and I are doing a speech together. And then probably just go visit my parents, maybe a trip to Vegas. I probably won't go to Winnipeg. I do not like it there. but yeah, just the usual. And then we'll see like what happens with my career.
Yeah. Yeah. So folks, he's a free agent. If you'd like to contact him, you can contact him directly or Shed headquarters, right?
Yeah.
And he probably has a real agent too, but I'm here to help anyway. Uh-huh. That's my friend. But it's like after you go through your hockey career and, you know, I don't know, I was a loyal guy. I always tried to do my best for the team I was playing for, and I didn't really want to go anywhere else when I was enjoying my time. And then when people don't have your backs, when you leave places, when coaches don't have your back, it's like I am so angry and so upset with everything I've put in for you, and you don't have my back when I need help. It's like for these kids I just coached and what they've done for me, and it's like anybody that calls me about you kids, I'm going to tell them exactly how awesome you guys are, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that too comes with like, and you don't do that because they won, but like, there's a reason why they won, and it's because they were good people and good teammates and they did the right thing. So, I mean, it's all hand in hand. Like, same thing. I know, like, same thing with Todd and Lordo, like any of his guys or their guys, they're going to speak very, very highly of. It's the same thing.
What goes around comes around.
Exactly. It's like when you win, it opens up a lot of opportunities, I think, inside and outside of the game.
What? And I mean, sometimes you need a helping hand and you need brothers to have your back, and I'm not going to get choked up, but when I left Cardiff and I had nothing, no job, no career. Todd wrote me a reference letter, a recommendation letter. And like, if I reread it now, it's like, him doing that got me the job at Superheat. And it's like, that is how, is because of the words you wrote about me. And it's like, you know, then you put your neck out for me. It's like, I better do the job like you said I was going to, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I mean, that's also a testament to you too. Obviously, you know that, because guys aren't going to lie either. So
it's like, what goes around comes around. They write that about me, and then it's like, well, watch how much I'm going to tell everybody about how awesome you're treated with the Cardiff Devils. And then I wrote a letter for them to send to prospective players of my experience and how I was treated. And it's like, when you have each other's backs, the world goes around a lot better, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And like, you never know who's going to come back in your life. A guy you played with, or a guy you play with knows someone and says something nice about you, and who knows?
Well, and that's like how this all exists, and how I've met so many great dudes is because the good people are friends with the good people, and then it's just like a big spider web of the good dudes in hockey, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely.
Anyways, folks, last week we're having a Two Ales and Hockey Tales raffle for a Two Ales Hockey Tales jersey with Walton 18 on the back. That's at aleshockeytales.com. And I still owe the Manchester store money for sponsoring their captain. And now their season is over and I still have not paid my whole bill. So please try and win the jersey so I can pay my bill, right? Did you see the logo on the back of Critch's jersey this year?
I did.
Did you giggle?
It was funny.
It was as hockey as it gets, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. It was cool though.
Well, first podcast in the world to sponsor pro hockey player, folks. So just please help me pay my bills. So, like, you know, I don't like owing people stuff, right? Anywho. Still talking with Mosey and Dougie a lot. Those were your boys.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time. Me and those two are two of my closest friends. Mosey's up there. So is Dougie, but Dougie lives over here, so we don't see each other as much. But me and Evan see each other every summer, so.
Yeah, it's good to stay connected with your brothers, you know? That's when I moved back here and I moved to a new town, I have no team. I don't know people around that know who I am or would, you know, like, it's amazing how you got to get to know people before it's like people come help you build your shed. They'll help you wire it. They'll help you do all the stuff. And it takes everybody, you know, and you got to have your brothers. You got to keep them around, because I didn't have anybody. And that was the hardest time of my life, was moving to a new town with no job. And I didn't know nobody, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it's super hard. It's not like showing up in a new city and then here's your 20 best friends for the year.
Yeah, yeah. So here's day one. We're going to have a meeting. And then why don't you guys all go for lunch and get to know each other? You're like, oh, so I have 20 new best friends for the year. This is awesome. Let's do this.
And then you'll see them every morning and you get to joke around with them. And
then hopefully there's some young single guys that are having fun and going out and telling you about it when you're an old guy of the team.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's like, for anybody leaving the game, my advice would be to try and stay in it in some way and have a team, because having teams to coach the last 3 years has given me everything I need. I have a team. I have a passion. I have a purpose of trying to figure out how to get them to win and become hockey players. And it's like, oh, I'm back in the game and I'm doing it for all the right reasons, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, it's more for you, it's more time with your son too.
Oh, and man. Daughter, so. Like driving to hockey and the time you get with them in the car is what it's all about. And then, like, I've become friends with my kids' friends because I've coached them. And and then you have like this, all these kids around town that are like your brothers and sisters for life. And like you go to the grocery store and getting hugs and stuff. And it's like, oh my God, I can't handle this. But man, it's like when you know who your son's hanging out with and what type of people they are, and you're like, this is exactly who I want you to hang out with because I know these kids, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And you're getting to know the parents too, so it's not just like some kid he met from school and you're just going over to whoever's house and you've never met the parents or you don't know much about the kid either.
Well, it's that's hockey, man. And it bring, when I came back and I had my hard time there, I resented the game. I was so upset and angry with where it had put me in life and my family. And, you know, take some time till you get your shit sorted out until you're like, man, that game actually gave me a lot and it's still giving me a lot, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it takes some time to, once you're done, to sit back and see all that.
It took a long time. It took a really long time, but it did take people helping me realize that it was Cardiff bringing me back, where I met all these new guys that were on the Devils that I'm like, and you guys were all winning and having a time. And then I show up and get to meet all you guys, and you guys all saw I'm a tallywhacker.
And we're still talking.
Yeah, I even got to have a shower with the boys again, right? We tried to wash the paint off, but it wasn't coming off.
That's so funny.
There's things you miss in hockey, eh? But yeah, that all that stuff, you know, got me back and made me realize I missed the hockey guy. And now I walk around town with my hat backwards and my hockey clothes on, and I'm me again, you know?
I thought you were going to say you walk around town naked.
Oh, gosh, no. I'm a minor hockey coach now. There's no more getting nudity. You can only do that in the pro game, folks.
Yeah.
Got to know your crowd.
That's funny.
Oh, gosh. Anywho, Sheffield was a squad this year, huh?
They were a good team, yeah. They just gelled.
Yeah.
I don't really know what other to say, like what else to say. I wouldn't say they were overly physical. I don't think many teams this year were. From when I was in the league last, it seems like the physicality has dropped off a lot. Like as a defenseman going back on pucks, it wasn't as like,
stressful.
Yeah, like you weren't you like obviously you had to take your looks, but there wasn't like a big meathead coming down.
Yeah,
you knew, like this year or 3 years ago, you knew every time you go back for the puck you're getting hit, whereas this year I think it's kind of, this year the physicality was down a lot. I'd say there was a lot more parity.
Anybody could beat anybody on any night.
Yeah, but I
really beat Sheffield.
Yeah, I do think this might be controversial, but I do think the last probably 2 years before COVID, the league was better than it was now.
Ooh, stirring the pot, because everybody tries to say it's always getting better and better, but I think you're hitting a chord with me, because I think hockey has gone away from what it was. And it's like, I remember 2014-15 season, man, when you're going to play the Clan or the Steelers or Belfast, and they all had big guys that mucked it up, and you're like, we're getting into a hockey game here.
Yeah.
And then you see some of the games now and you're like, man, there's not much body contact out here. And nope. It's like, I'm trying to teach these kids, it's like hockey hasn't changed. The people that give her the hardest and muck it up the hardest win. And it's not about doing the fancy toe drag moves, it's about dumping it in and going after it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that opens up all the fanciness. But well,
just fun fact was my team led Ontario in penalty minutes and won it all.
Funny, too.
We're
hard.
Old school, folks. We got an email from Minor Hockey saying, what are you guys, we need a plan of what you guys are going to do about this, about these penalty minutes. And I was like, we only lost one game. What do you mean? You want us to change when we're in first place and we don't lose anybody?
Yeah, we lost one game.
But
too good. Trying to make it even.
Well, they were taking penalties for trying hard. It wasn't selfish penalties. It wasn't retaliation penalties. It was literally trying too hard that a guy would get knocked over a trip or something, right?
Wild.
Anywho, but yeah, I could see what you mean by that with just the physicality, because man, the UK league was known as a bruising league for a long time, and I wouldn't really say that it's the same anymore.
No, it's not even it. And now it's more like Europe. I'd say it's a bit like home because there's 15 imports, but like the physicality, I think, is not even nearly what it was.
Well, and that's what I thought of the Danish league when I went there. Was I thought there wasn't much physicality out there, and I thought, man, you put a team together of guys that muck out here, it's you'd have a hard time, boys. But fun fact for small world stuff is Sundar Jussi, where I won a gold helmet, finished second in the league in scoring, led the team in goals, and was kindly asked to leave 2 days after winning the championship, are now a game away from winning it again. And their new coach was my puppy that year, Anders Forster. It's his first year as head coach, and he came in as an interim coach halfway through the year, and now he's a game away from winning it.
Unreal. Good guy.
Oh, great guy. So, like, it's so cool how good things happen to good people. It's like, we had to go to Copenhagen to get Colby's passport way back when he was a toddler. And that guy was from there, and he put us up at his parents, and we stayed the night at his parents' house and got to know them. And then we didn't have to pay for a hotel room and everything. And it's like, man, you are a really nice guy, you know?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and those are the type of people that become head coaches and win championships. So hopefully they pull her off tomorrow. And I thought it was funny because I think I'm funny sometimes with my posts, and I just posted like, I hope your coach and my puppies win, because there's about a handful I'm still on the team. But I'm like, you'll probably ask everyone to leave anyways. And Sundar Jussi actually liked it. And, I guess they do like me, even though they asked me to leave.
That's funny.
I might have had some hard feelings for a couple years, right? Just a couple years. Fun fact, eh? This week, I got ID'd twice trying to buy beer. You only have to be 19. Hey. Yeah, two different people ID'd me. That's funny, eh?
Wow.
I don't know if it's the blonde hair or the backwards hat or the mullet.
Must make you feel good, though.
It did. I said, yes, please ask me for it. I can't wait to show you.
Yeah. Can you tell everyone else to ask me, too?
So anyways, you just went to Turkey after the season?
Yeah, we did. There was about eight of us. Yeah, eight of us went. It was super cool. I've never been.
That's
had
hockey.
No idea. Yeah, I had no idea how pretty the country actually is.
You guys just were on a muck really, there or what?
It was my first time at an all-inclusive, so we got our money's worth. Yeah. And it was right on the Mediterranean too, so it was super cool.
That is super cool. When you went to Manchester, did you guys ever lose, and did you see all the chocolate get thrown on the ice?
I think we lost, but I don't think I saw the chocolate because we get off like right away.
Oh, right.
They do, like,
yeah, when you lose, tails between your leg, get out of there.
Well, they do the away man of the match first. So then you do it and then you just get off.
Oh, so the chocolate doesn't happen till after that.
I believe so. Like maybe after their man of the match. And then when
I was hoping that they do it and the other team's still on so they can really piss people off.
Yeah, getting hit in the head with a chocolate bar after you just lost.
I've been having a lot of fun with the game lately. Like when I see Mosey getting Kit Kats in Cardiff, and then I see the storm in Manchester of chocolate, and then I even got people to buy in around here. And when our team won, the siblings and parents threw chocolate on the ice, and the boys loved it. And I appreciated that. People finally bought in. And so then I returned the favor because then my sister and some of the siblings were on the same girls team. So then I got the boys to chuck the chocolate on the ice for the girls.
That's unreal.
It was fun.
That's cool. I'm sure they love that too.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be
kids
these boys
do like chocolate.
I had growing up, I had a team like this younger too, where we had never won. Like it was the year, I think the year after my dad retired, he coached us. And we were a little bit older. I think we were like 15, 16, but still, like we want like a team from Vegas. We went and beat all these teams from California. Like in America, they do the regionals and then the nationals.
Yeah.
And there was no team forever from Vegas who had made it to the national championship. And that's when you're playing against like Little Caesars, Honey Bake, like all those
The
teams.
top teams.
So we were the first team from Nevada to ever do it. But anyways, all these guys are like still my friends 20 years later.
Yeah. And that's what it does, man. And I'm so proud of these kids, man. I can't wait to see what they do in their careers, because there's some players out there, and I wouldn't be surprised if a handful of them make AAA, and I would be so proud, and I'd be such a big fan of that AAA team. I'd go and watch them, because the see the brotherhood that they created this year, and the will to win for each other was, oh, it's everything you need in life. And fun fact was, a U13 concurrent team had not won all Ontario for 14 years, and the last team to do it was two Shed guys, Ethan Skinner and Garrett McFadden, and they've been on, and I try to help support them. Skinny's done now, but to find out that that's how this works, and that the Shed guys had won 14 years before, and now a new crew of Shed guys are gonna win, I think it's
That's
awesome.
hilarious. That's unreal. That's
It
so
really
funny.
is. And I even had Skinner even came to talk to my boys after at the last practice before the big weekend. He came in to tell them about his experiences. It was people helping people, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, fun stuff. Shed guys know Shed guys, and I know you had a tough year, but Dicko was there the year before, and he has told me this Dyson Stevenson is a real Shed guy.
Oh, yes. He's a really good guy. I lived down the hall from him, so I spent a lot of time with him. But
Yeah. I
he's a
hear he's a
really good guy.
gamer, right?
Oh yeah, he'll fight anyone. He fought Big Lou.
Oh dear. Why
And
would you do that?
he's I would say Dice is probably 6 foot 6'1", maybe. Like 180. Like not a big boy. Like he's decent size, but like that's not, I wouldn't say Lewis is in his weight class, but
Right.
he's a warrior, does whatever the team needs to do, and
And
a
he's
good guy.
willing to do things like that. That's what you need.
Exactly. And like blocks a lot of shots, does everything you need to do to win. And a really good guy off the ice, like willing to help,
So you guys
like
just
help
needed
get
more of you
settled.
guys on that team. Sorry, too soon?
Yeah, we save that for off the camera.
Yeah. There's a lot of off-the-camera stuff that happens, folks. You can know what way more about hockey than you're supposed to. And I find it funny that I'll have fans write to me like, "Do you know what this player is doing next year? And do you know what that player's doing next year?" And I know full well what
Yeah, like why do you think you get to know?
doing.
But like,
You think I'm gonna tell you, so then you can go spill the beans, then I'm in trouble, you know?
drag my name through the mud.
Yeah. I think it's funny when you know about like 3-year deals and they only announce it a year at a time, and you're like, oh my
Yeah.
God, let's just tell people.
Seriously. But I feel like that's only in the UK though, that they don't want to disclose that information.
Untrue.
Like multi-year deals. What?
Untrue. There's other places.
Okay.
But then the part I find it's interesting is, I know these guys have been signed for 3 years, and then maybe their team doesn't do what they're supposed to do this year, and then all of a sudden they're like not even sure if they're going back, and you're like, what do you mean? It was a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
It's interesting when
It's
teams
hockey.
can do some switcheroos on guys, and nobody's out there to say what really goes on in hockey, but you know what? I'm right here, and I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I think things should be done right, you know?
I
Like I was
agree.
treated in Cardiff, Wales.
I agree.
What else do you got? You got anything for me while I look at my notes?
Not really, no.
Jeepers. Chippy Lane, do you remember the last time you were there?
Yeah, I was there with Dougie and one of the new boys, Barrow, I think.
Ryan Barrow, he's
I
been to
think
the
he and
Shed.
Dougie. Yeah, he's a good player. I like him.
Yeah,
He's
he did
really
well
hard to
with
play
Manchester and
against.
then went to Cardiff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he did points wise, but I just like he's a guy he's on the ice. He plays old school, like in your face, heavy, good skater, takes the body. Like he's a pain to play against, but I like him. I would love to have him on my team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, seems to be a good player. He was definitely a good dude when I talked to him in the shed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess if he's hanging out with Dougie, yeah, makes sense, right?
And there's not a lot of bad guys that they get to go to Cardiff too, so I'm sure he's
they're pretty good at selecting boxes. Good dudes.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that 2014, 15, and 15, 16 years, man, the guys I was playing the game with made hockey fun again. It made me love hockey again. And, you know, when you've been asked to kindly leave places and you're losing the love of the game and you're getting older and you're not getting the deals you want and contracts you want, and then you get to Cardiff and you're like, let's just have fun and win. And then you do. And it's like, man, hockey's fun again. And I'm playing with the best people.
Yeah, that's like, so that, like, the years I was in Cardiff, we still have a group chat from 1920 still going off. It was going off this afternoon.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the hardest days I remember was, I was at our cottage, and I had been in the team group chat for, a couple months. When the season's over, my career's over, I'm done. And then it was Herve the Perv. All of a sudden, rates in the group chat. Things have changed. I got a job and I'm not coming back. So I guess it's time to leave the group chat. And then he left. And then another guy, that Russell, had planned to come back. And then he got like a scouting job. So then he writes, I'm also not coming back. I've got a job. So I'm going to leave the group chat. And then I was like, so they left. So like now, I should leave. Cause like, I'm not on the team anymore. And like my career's over. And then I did, and I still don't know why. It's like, why wouldn't I stay on that group chat? Those are my brothers. And yeah. I left the group chat, and I remember like getting choked up when I was doing it. And yeah. Then you didn't even have that group chat anymore. You're like, well, why would you do that to yourself? Stop being an idiot. Stay in the group chat, right?
Yeah, you just inflicted all that pain.
That's, I know. And it's like, why did you do that to yourself? It's like I was hurting myself.
Yeah, so you text someone right away. All right, can you add me back in? I just wanted to
please. I just want to see funny stuff again.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
But no, like it's when I won with the Elmira Sugar Kings 23 years ago, we still have a group chat. It just got fired up in the last few years again through it was supposed to be our 20-year anniversary, but then COVID and all the baloney. And then all of a sudden we had a group chat again, and it's like people don't change. They just get older, and it's so much fun to be reconnected with your brothers.
Oh, for sure. Like I'm sure that testimonial was awesome for you.
Oh my God. Which one? I had so much fun. And then you meet all these other guys that were their best buddies through hockey. And you're like, oh my God, it's all shed guys. And you're only going to invite the people that you want to invite. And you invited me, and it means the world. And, but that's what playing with good players and seeing them do well brings fun things. And it's like the guys in hockey that are worried about their own goals and assists and not about the wins and losses and their brothers. Like, I think that's where the game gets. There's some teammates out there that once you get paid to score goals and get assists, then they care about that way too much.
Yeah. And those guys usually don't last as long either.
They get weeded out of the game, don't they? Because people talk.
No, exactly. Yeah. You treat the wrong guy. You treat the wrong guy on your team like that, who's been around for a long time. He knows and a lot of people.
Guess who they're calling to find out about you, right?
Exactly.
But that's, no, like,
that's crazy, though, because these younger guys, they don't realize that.
I know. But yeah, like getting invited back to Cardiff
a few of them don't.
You lagged on me there. I didn't think you were talking.
No, I said a few of them don't, but yes. I don't know why.
I know. But the other thing like that is still doesn't sit quite right with me was I was invited over to Justin Kelly's jersey retirement in Bietigheim, and he was my centerman in Bietigheim, and we won the championship. And I haven't been back to Bietigheim since they've asked me to leave. And his night was the same night as Wally night, or same weekend. So I couldn't do both, which was so cool that we were both having nights overseas when we're retired. But then it was the same year as Batchy's testimonial. Renee Schoefs was getting his number 5 jersey retired in Germany, who was my next centerman after Justin. And we went together, and he was like one of my little German puppies that we were brothers, and he invited me back for his, and I couldn't make it because I was going to batches already. And then I saw the picture of all the guys that had played the game, because you play a game and then they put the jersey to the rafters at the end. And to know I missed that, it's still unsettling.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, because it would have been fun to go back and see all those people and see the place I had lived for 4 years and thought was home. And it maybe would have helped me move on from being asked to leave. You know, maybe I should get over it someday, right? Got issues.
Sounds like you're doing really well.
But yeah, it would be fun to go back there someday, you know? So you played in a lot of leagues. We talked about which ones were your favorite. How about the fans? Where do you think the best, craziest fans are?
The craziest.
I think there's two different answers, because I think there's craziest and I think there's best.
Yeah, there's, I think here it's, I think it's crazy with all the social media. Mm-hmm. I am off Facebook and Twitter for that reason.
Because there's meanie weenies.
Just because, yeah, I mean, everyone's entitled to speak their mind. I mean, I just don't need to see it. I don't need to be told by, I don't need to read what fans have to say about my game. I mean, it's whatever. They have, they're entitled to it. I don't need to see it. In terms of like in-game fan, like cool fans, it would definitely be Germany.
I agree.
Like the chant, I know Cardiff has tried to do it with their little standing section they have behind the net there.
But it's not nearly the level of Germany.
No, in Germany, it's like the whole, like in Selb, it was the whole rink was standing and singing. So it was super cool. I mean, I think it only sat like 2,500, maybe. Like that's what we were getting, but it was so loud.
Oh, man. So those German burns when you get in, it's like, and if you haven't experienced it, there's no way for us to explain it right now, right?
No. No, it's just like it's always every second of the game is so loud.
Yeah, I like the memory of going to the finals the first 2 years I was in Germany in Landshut. We were the underdog and we go play Kassel, who had the huge budget, and we went right down to last game in overtime, and to play in front of fans that rowdy and that loud, and you get the SWAT police there and you got people lighting off flares in the crowd, and it can get your heart pumping and you are so ready to play hockey, eh?
Oh yeah. That was like, we played, so Krimichow was one of our rivals.
Yeah.
And I live close enough to where I could walk to the rink. So I would walk to the rink on game. Like I would walk to the rink for games, but I remember it was like my first derby game. So I'm walking and I swear to God, there was like 15 police cars lined up. And I was like, holy crap, like what happened? I get inside and I ask one of the guys, like, what's going on? And you're like, oh no, this is normal. It's like, what do you mean this is normal? He's like, when there's like big rival games or derby games, they need to have like an absurd amount of police. I'm like, Jesus, for the second German hockey league.
But they do need it.
That's crazy.
When I was in Bietigheim and Heilbronn, they were the biggest rivals. And well, there was an incident at a game. Like I didn't know about it because I'm just staying in my pocket and playing the game. But I heard that like they have fan clubs, right? And
yeah,
it was like hoodlums, like, or hooligans, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Where they got in a brawl and a few of the fans were like banned from the arena for the whole season or whatever. And it sounded like it got completely carried away, and they most definitely need the police when that stuff's going on.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It is nuts. People are nuts. You know?
Crazy.
Yeah. But Germany, the atmosphere is as electric as a hockey arena can get anywhere.
Oh yeah. It's awesome. It's unreal. And I never went to a DEL game, but I'm sure those are like a whole nother level too.
I agree. And it's like, I wish back when I played, there was people doing this, like not the social media, but like the YouTube and like the highlights of games. And like when I went over there, my parents couldn't watch the games. They couldn't get the stream. And it's like, some of the memories I have from my first games, it's like, you can't find that footage anywhere. And it's sad because it's like, my first game in Landsuit after the game, and they like called me back out with my line mate Daffy, who's now a coach in Germany, folks. But like they call us back out, and I didn't know what was going on, right? Because I'd never seen any of this. And then you get called back out, and the whole crowd's chanting your name, and you're just like, this is unbelievable, you know? And then you got to dance for them.
Yeah, it's a lot better than getting booed in Glasgow.
Right. Yeah. Getting your name chanted is a lot different than getting booed, isn't it? And it makes you want to play hockey for them way more.
Yeah, getting booed off the ice after every period.
Oh, that's no fun. No. And they think you're going to turn it around.
Yeah, it's like, geez, like we want to win just as bad as like
professional hockey players trying to win.
Yeah, like I'm trying really hard. Like this is how I put food on the table. Like,
yeah,
I'm trying.
Oh, some people don't get how you have to turn things around. Sometimes it's supporting your guys, and it's like if you're a fan of a team, cheer for them, show them you have their back.
No, I mean, I get it. They were probably promised. I didn't follow much along last summer, but I'm sure they were promised things would be different here. And
right,
it seems like it ended up worse here this year than it did last year. So
did you know that coach before you went there?
Morgan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually played with him my second year pro.
See, that's how people get jobs and take people. They know who you are and what type of teammate you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was – unfortunately it didn't work out. I don't have anything bad to say about him. It was just, I think, an unfortunate year with some unfortunate things that happened behind the scenes that not everyone has the full story to. So mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully they can figure it out next year.
Well, when there's distractions, it really can distract hockey players. And it's like when you go to an organization that everything's right and people are hockeying right and you're taken care of, and I always say happy hockey players play better, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's over, it's done with.
Yeah, time to move on. Time to go season. Win something somewhere next year, right?
Season's over, so no one's playing anymore. So
you're still young and fresh. I can see how fit you are. You don't have a body type like me, but so you're 34. Have you thought about life after hockey?
I have. I want to stay in the game.
And the game needs more guys like you and more teammates like you, just so you know. So I think you should stay in the game too.
I appreciate that. I have had some interest. There's one, like I have had an interesting text message that I would tell you off camera. I don't want to talk about it on here. But for me, it's just, I guess, realizing how do you know when it's time to be done? But I guess you really don't. This is more like an open-ended question /topic of conversation for you. Cause I don't know. You went through it already.
But I didn't know. Cause realistically my knee locked and then they tried to clean it up good enough for me to keep playing. And they couldn't, that there's a give out when I get halfway down that they I'm not allowed to play hockey no more. So then it was over and like it was out of my hands. It was done and I couldn't do anything about it. And it was as hard as it's ever been in my life. It was awesome of Cardiff. They let me stay around that year and be a part of it and do the pregame speeches, as ridiculous as they were. But it's like, well, I will go and do the craziest, most ridiculous thing for these guys because this is my last chance to win and I'm going to go do whatever I can to get these boys fired up. And it was over for me, but it's like, for me, there's people that you either fall into something that is a great exit. It's like, well, then maybe it's time to jump if you get offered something like that. And it's like, because I see some guys that they just keep going down the path and they don't have a plan for after. And it's like, well, the further you go down that path, it's like you really should stay in hockey because, you know, it's, you know, a lot you, by the end of a career, when you're 34, man, you know, a lot of people in the game and you have a lot of people that will still be in the game and they will have your back. And I didn't realize how many people I knew in the game until I got out to my shed, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say there's no answer other than, are you getting contracts that make sense? Are you having fun? or do you have anything else you can be doing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of decisions to be made, and it is someone put it once when I had just finished, and he's like, well, this is post hockey anxiety. And I'm like, he's like, the day I got released in the coast or whatever, he's like, I just stood in my car and I didn't know where to go and what to do. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's, can you cut this out or does this have to stay on?
We just don't say anything you don't want to say.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have an editing team, man.
I thought maybe you did or not. No, I mean, it's just,
I just send them, man.
I'm a lot more reserved.
I understand.
I need some time to think about it, and what comes up is the, I guess, most generic answer I can give.
Well, and you can still play. It's like, and you'll still get jobs because people know who you are and how you play. And it's just, when is the right time? But like, if you're still loving it and you're still enjoying it, it's like, keep doing it. I mean, once it's over, you know?
Yeah. That's like the thing. That's like what my dad's advice is. Like, if you want to be done, like, you need to make sure you are done, because there's like no coming back.
Right. There's no second guessing at it. It's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, for me, it's weird, 'cause I do believe that, especially like when I realized how hard it was to get a real world job when people don't know you. I realistically, if I don't hurt my knee, I don't see how there's any way I would have stopped playing, because I wasn't going to take a job for less money to work 40 hours a week than play hockey. you know, it's like, but I guess you do have to start sometime. Realistically, I probably got lucky I hurt my knee, because I would have probably gone till the wheels fell off, which I guess I did.
So do you think now that you've built something, you've built a home, like a home for your family and all of that, I guess, would you see that as kind of a blessing in disguise, your knee injury?
Yes. Yeah. I would. It's a lot to deal with daily, but like, that is another thing that people don't know about, is playing hockey in Germany. There is a benefit that if you do get hurt, that they have your back, that they have rules. They have this BG thing where you can get compensated for a career ending injury. And if it wasn't for that, and it wasn't for my CEO and Superheat taking a chance on me, who knows what would have happened, right? Who knows I'd be. And it takes a long time to get your, like I always say, you got to make the bed you sleep in. And it took me a long time to make my bed around here, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, like, looking at that, I mean, I'm sure going through it at the time, it's like being told you can't play hockey again is like a nightmare.
I remember when they told me, and I called Todd in tears. I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
Because like, they had signed me to play for them all year, and I was planning on doing everything it took to win. And it was like the lightest I had been in my whole career, and I was ready to go. And then you hurt your knee the first exhibition game, and then you're never the same. And then all of a sudden she locks on you and it's over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, I couldn't imagine that, but like, I guess it happened at the quote right time, because then you were able to meet your CEO in Boston Pizza, knowing you can't play anymore. Right. Like,
been here for months though, man. I was working for a carpenter as like his driver, wood holder, painter, whatever he wanted me to do. I would just help him. And it was trying times when we first got back and I didn't have work, and it's like, so we wake up and it's like, so every day is a Saturday and I have nothing getting me out of bed, nothing getting me going. And it's interesting when you get out the other side and you're like, when I start doing this and I'm having so much fun, it's like I spring out of bed and I'm like, let's get to work, you know?
Yeah.
So then I can have fun on lunch hour.
No, for sure. I mean, yeah, I think
like, you've already been a player assistant coach in professional hockey. You've been a captain. You've been a winner. I would think you could get a coaching job in the hockey world if it was time to hang up the wheels, but I don't think it's time to hang up the wheels. I think you're still too good and young. Like, look how fit you still are.
Yeah, I mean, I take care of myself, but it's for
I
me
never
too.
did.
For me too, it's like I don't want to be playing in like leagues where
It
I'm
doesn't
just
make
playing.
sense.
Yeah. Be
Yeah.
playing in like good competitive hockey, good leagues. Like, I just don't want to go somewhere to collect a paycheck and to just like bounce around, because that's never why I wanted to play.
I 100% agree. I never did hockey for the money. And that's what I think is cool about now, is doing this and not making any money. And I can't even pay Manchester all the money yet, folks. At aleshockeytales.com, we're having a raffle. But like, I do this because it brings so much joy to my life. I get to cheer for the guys that come on. I get to watch if they're winning and losing games, and then to see people doing fun stuff around the world, like wearing clothes and jerseys and throwing chocolate. And it's like, I'm having so much fun, and nobody needs to pay me nothing to do this, but it sure would be cool, right? A boy can dream, right? I think I got to get back to the real world soon, so I don't know if I have anything else for you.
That's all I got.
Well, thanks for making the time again. I know you've had a tough day golfing and then
talking
to me, and it's busy in the off season, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
busy and stressful.
So I would think you keep hockeying while you can hockey, just thinking out loud. Because once you work all day, then you work all day.
Yeah. There's no golfing midday on Monday.
I just find it so interesting around the world. It's like, this minor hockey coaching thing is my passion. I love it. I love seeing kids become hockey guys or girls and love the game, and then like love each other and be friends for life. And like, there's people around the world that get paid to coach minor hockey, like
yeah, I know.
real money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I know. And I do it for free. I actually pay quite a bit to do it. Like a lot.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, like everybody's got a different way of hockeying, but like Germany, they're paying coaches to do it. The USA is paying coaches to do it. And around here, I don't know, man, it's interesting, because Canada, I think, is not going to be the powerhouse hockey nation it's always been in a few more years. I think the US is way overtaking them, and it's a lot to do with having hockey guys teaching kids how to hockey, and all those NHL players that stay in those cities and then raise kids in hockey the right way. And it's like, well, they're going to be players.
Yep. And then those kids are going to stay in America, and they're going to raise their kids.
Yeah.
And then
Canada's still going to have volunteers and not be getting the right people to do this. And it's like, and you think they're going to be raised the right way? But anywho, that's all I got about that. But I'm so happy, and thank you, Kincardon, for letting me in and picking me to be the coach. I will do the best I can, right?
Best you can as a volunteer.
And we're going to win it again, folks, and winning is fun. Go Canucks. And folks, if you're looking to sign Mr. Reddick here, please contact headquarters, and we will work out a deal. And this has been another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Reds and Wally.
Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. For the fans, to the players, living their hockey dream. Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. Kincardon, Sendriewski, and everywhere in between. Remember, kids, winning is fun. Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. Two some chocolate, please.